This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, talking about Idaho's amendment against gay marriage. The motto of my birth state, Nebraska, is equality before the law. The motto was adopted in 1867 at the instigation of Representative Isaac Wiles, who wanted his state to support the abolition of slavery. It was a sad day in November 2000 when 70% of Nebraska voters betrayed that motto by approving a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. On the positive side, on Wednesday, the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that the unequal disposition of rights and benefits to committed same-sex partners can no longer be tolerated under our state constitution. Critics will say that these activist judges were somehow pushing the homosexual agenda. But don't we want our judges to do what we all learned in kindergarten, treat everyone equally and fairly? Chief Justice Margaret Marshall, one of the six Republicans on the Massachusetts Supreme Court, wrote the majority opinion in that state's landmark 2003 decision. In it, she concludes that the Massachusetts Constitution forbids the creation of second-class citizens, and the right to marry means little if it does not include the right to marry the person of one's choice. Personal liberty and equality before the law were the two great pillars of American and French revolutions, historical watersheds that made people free from the dictates of kings and bishops, and allowed people to be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, their gender, or their sexual orientation. In early America, liberty and equality for all was, of course, a promissory note for women and slaves. But arguments to deny them equal opportunity were as weak then as arguments for excluding gays and lesbians are now. One of the arguments against gay marriage is that somehow only a man and a woman can raise children properly. But a 2001 study from the University of Southern California found that gay parenting has no measurable effect on children's mental or health or social adjustment. This is also the position of the American Psychological Association, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. Many say that we should limit the rights of gays and lesbians because they engage in immoral sexual activities. But people in liberal democracies don't lose their rights by performing so-called unnatural acts. If that were true, then millions of sexually active heterosexuals would suddenly not be able to make medical decisions for their spouses, receive Social Security after their spouse's death, or to adopt children. Celebrating the end of Texas' sodomy law, Ellen Goodman said, "The statutes that made homosexuals outlaws had to end before they could become in-laws. But wait a minute, even heterosexual criminals in prison are allowed to marry the heterosexual of their choice." A deep confusion between church and state bedevils the gay marriage debate. Amending civil law to grant marriage rights to gays and lesbians does not in any way affect marriages that are performed in churches, and it constitutes no threat to them. As conservative columnist Andrew Sullivan reminds us, no one is proposing that faith communities be required to change their definitions of marriage. Since the state does not dictate what churches believe, then the churches should not dictate what civil marriage should be. This is my advice to the people of Idaho. Vote no on HJR number 2. So that we don't write discrimination into our state's constitution. Let us instead preserve equality before the law as our most basic value. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, requesting that you send your comments to nickgeyer@adelphia.net or check out my website at www.nickgeyer.com.